Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my friend and colleague, Kristen Beck. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Jason.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Beautiful sunny day outside.
It's gorgeous today.
It's gorgeous today. It's rainy earlier this week. And the reason the weather matters is because we're talking about gardens today.
That's right.
Some very specific gardens. Kristen is the Director of Urban Activation at the Downtown Alliance. And Kristen, that's an unusual job title. Perhaps you could spend a moment and describe what you see your job as being the Director of Urban Activation is.
It covers a wide swath. It's mostly overseeing a lot of our public realm assets, like the banner program and the kiosk program and holiday lighting. In addition to that, I oversee the management of the art and craft market at Pioneer Park.
Which is part of the farmer's market
program. That's right.
Program. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And garden stroll.
And various and sundry other, jingle bus duties at some point.
Yes, that's right. Holiday programming.
Whatever is sort of odd that doesn't fit into someone else's job description that happens in the public sphere somehow seems to land in your lap.
Yeah, it makes things really fun and interesting.
Well, it's lucky for us because you do a really outstanding job with everything that you touch. So we're very grateful for that.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
We're here today. Not just to give platitudes and thanks, although that's important also. I want to talk about Garden Stroll because we're sort of in the midst of it. This is the third year of Garden Stroll. And describe for the listeners who may have not have been down on Salt Lake City's Main Street what Garden Stroll is.
Garden Stroll is a creative expression of springtime. It builds on the momentum that it already exists with our cityscape. The CBD maintenance team does a fantastic job with the flowers there. And of course, the phenomenal urban gardens that happens just off of South Temple at Temple Square.
Yeah, Temple Square. I take people to Temple Square sometimes. It doesn't matter your religious persuasion. You walk on there and see like 8 billion tulips. And that's jaw-dropping. Like, it's so cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I always feel like a tourist in my own town when I go through Temple Square.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So 3 years ago, Downtown SLC Presents, which is a subsidiary of the Downtown Alliance, launched Garden Stroll. So a celebration of spring.
It is. It's a celebration of spring, and we also commission 8 unique designers and artists to build small pocket parks on Main Street, on the large sidewalks of Main Street.
We have big sidewalks. So we fill them up. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like, because you're responsible for selecting the artists and designers, and then, I mean, you and a team. Like, you have a group that kind of puts this together, and then actually constructing these gardens.
Right. So we work with an outstanding man named Eric Crowther. He builds platforms for the parks to sit on. And we work with a committee to select all of the artists. We usually do it about 2 months out is when we put the call out. And then once the committee's decided and scored all of the artists, we determine where they go and how they're set up. And it's all part of city permitting and processes.
Yeah, which are not always easy for people to understand, but it's sadly a part of life when you're building stuff in the public realm on a city sidewalk. You get the right permits. Third year in, what do you look for in a garden when you do these gardens? And then I want to talk about some of the specific gardens that we have this year and the ones that you like the most.
Perfect.
Not the ones you like the least. We'll just talk about the ones you like the most.
Perfect. Perfect. We always ask for the artist to do plantings of some sort, sometimes a representation of plantings or of nature.
Has to be a green element to a garden.
That's right.
Presumably.
That's right. Seeding. And just an overall sense of whimsy, and often we sort of expect an interactive element at each park, just like you might find at a real park.
A larger, more permanent park.
Right. It's a micro park.
It's a little baby park. Mm-hmm. It's a baby park on Main Street. And they're what, 8? I get this wrong every time. Is it 8 feet by 22 feet?
8 by 20.
20.
Just
I was so close. So 8 feet by 20 feet. And there has to be an element of green and some place to sit down, element of whimsy. And then how many entries do you get?
This year we had 30.
Wow. I'm from the, you pick eight, call it down to eight.
Yeah, it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, yeah. What are the gardens? Let's describe them a little bit for people who haven't been there this year. So what are the ones that you think might be the most interactive this year?
The most interactive is probably the one that is right inside, right outside of the Utah Arts Building, the old Utah Theater.
So this is on Main Street.
It
all
is.
I should say all these are on Main Street between South Temple and 300 South.
That's right.
And this one is between 100 South and 200 South.
That's right.
On the west side. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the same spot.
Yep. It sits right in the middle of the block, essentially. Yeah.
Easy to find.
It's very easy to find. All of the plantings were perfect for this time of year. As you know, the weather is so mercurial. You never know what you're going to get. So he picked really hardy plantings, really nice trees that have actually flourished in the time that they've been out there. And there are three tables with benches and checkerboards on each of the, painted onto each of the tables.
Oh, nice. And are there checkers there?
Yeah, checkers and chess pieces.
Have they been stolen or are they still around?
No, they're still around.
Good. Don't, if you're listening, don't steal the do not steal our checkers, please, or our chess pieces, either one. It could happen.
It could.
But thankfully, not so far.
That's right.
Good. People are respecting the sanctity of the checker and chessboard.
They are. There's something about those two games that that really people have respect for,
it's
I think.
Bad. It's like if somebody,
chess especially.
I think so, too. I remember reading a story one time about the Oasis Cafe and someone stole a statue of Buddha. And I just thought, you don't get it. Like, duh, why would you? if you really like Buddha, you would not steal a statue of Buddha. But I guess they liked it aesthetically, but not. I don't know, theologically, I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, maybe checkers and chess have that same, the checkers and chess crowd is less likely to steal.
Right, good. Right. And you know, the tables, they have the checker and chess boards sort of painted onto them. So it's so obvious that the checkers and chess pieces should stay.
Right. These are part of the garden.
Right.
They stay in the garden. Which garden this year do you think is the most vibrant and green? Which is the most verdant garden?
I'd have to say that one.
That one also.
But second to that is this really intriguing globe garden.
Yeah.
That has about, I want to say like 50 different plants, and they're all, a lot of them at least, are edible.
Oh.
So it's, first of all, it's so unique because it's just this huge orb.
Yeah.
And you can kind of walk into it and check out all the plants.
Feet? Is it like 8 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my guess, eight feet high. Have you eaten any of the plants there?
No. Oh. I wonder if anyone has.
I'm going to.
There's basil.
Yeah.
And leaf lettuce.
Okay. A little salad.
Yeah, a little salad.
I might
salad.
Have a little salad this afternoon.
Bring your tomato.
Okay, there's no tomatoes there. So we talked about some of the gardens that are particularly verdant or green, most interactive. What are the other gardens? What are the things that you like about the other gardens that are lining our Main Street right now?
One on the corner of South Temple and Main is actually really cool. It's called We Are Powered by Light. So it's all about food and how food comes from the sunlight.
This is the most educational garden.
It is the most educational. And it's actually, he's planted peas, and they're climbing up trellises that are on either side of the garden.
More food.
Yeah, more food.
Jeannie is not going to need to go shopping at Harmon's for a whole week. Don't tell Harmon's.
It's
just
a theme.
We're going to be foraging on Main Street from the urban gardens.
Right.
I love it.
It is. The beans are coming in.
Are they really?
Yeah, so I think by Mother's Day they will be...
A bushel of beans.
I think we'll have some beans.
That's awesome.
On Main Street.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What's been the reaction of the garden? I ask a lot of leading questions on this show.
Yes.
You may be aware of that.
Yes.
Do people like the gardens, Kristen?
What the coolest thing about the gardens, I mean, it varies, right?
Right.
When I'm watching people interact with the gardens or when they just come across the gardens, usually it's the first time they've seen them or they've heard of them and they're like, oh, this is that project. Yeah. These are these parks. And so that's always really encouraging to me. Most of the time there's an element of surprise when people encounter them. And then secondly, you'll just see someone walk right up to it and sit down and have a cup of coffee.
Just enjoying it.
Just as though it was meant to be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is so cool.
So I will have a confession. When we were first thinking about doing some sort of a garden, some sort of an activity. We didn't know what it was going to be. It was really pushed by a former city council member, Kyle Amalfa, and then a current city council member, Stan Penfold, helped direct us in this. But Kyle's thing was, what could we do to take advantage of LDS General Conference? So we have 100,000 people coming downtown. Many of those folks do not often come downtown. And Kyle was like, how can we get folks to explore the rest of downtown so that they don't just go to the conference center and have a religious experience, but are there ways that we can draw them into the rest of downtown? And we thought of a bunch of, like, a chocolate festival, and then I thought of, like, tulips and planting a bunch of tulips, and Chicago did something like that on the Magnificent Mile, and I actually went out and visited with them, and they said, don't do tulips because you can't control when they come up, and you could, like, have this big thing and promote it, and then you get no tulips, or they could all come up and die before it's over. So
that's right.
So we learned a lot. So the garden stroll was an outgrowth of this desire by the city council, who I should say is a big funder of this. They provide a bulk of the funding outside of the contract that they normally have with the Downtown Alliance. Do you think it's hitting that goal? Do you think it's helping draw people into the rest of the city?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, we put big signs up at each park that show a map of where the parks are, and I think that does draw people down, at least to Third South.
Yeah. Good. Well, that gets people past 100 South, which
was
a big goal. We are talking about the Garden Stroll on Main Street with the Downtown Alliance's Director of Urban Activation. Kristen also oversees Downtown SLC Presents, which is a subsidiary of the Downtown Alliance focused on placemaking, promotion, and programming for the Downtown Cultural Core. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about tactical urbanism in Salt Lake City's downtown. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm here with my dear friend and colleague, Kristen Beck. Kristen and I started at the Downtown Alliance about the same time, about 8 years ago. Kristen is the Director of Urban Activation at the Downtown Alliance, and Kristen oversees the public realm, which is sort of anything that we do out in the streets or changing the physical environment, usually in a quick and inexpensive way, like holiday lights. I'm talking a lot today about the garden stroll on Main Street because we're in the midst of that right now. Kristen also has helped to oversee the Jingle Bus, which is super fun, the Jingle Bus. Kristen has done a lot of things at the Alliance, including dressing up in an elf costume, which I have done as well. We share that. We have a lot of fun at the Downtown Alliance.
I don't think that elf costume would fit me these days.
Yeah, mine isn't fitting me very well either, but it fit for a little while. It was a tight-fitting elf costume. Kristen, I want to talk a little bit about your vision for downtown. You've got some really cool projects that you have been working on for a little while. Let's talk a little bit, if it's okay, about Bike and Movie.
Oh, yeah. That's a concept that we've been working on with iHeartRadio. It's taking a little bit of time to gain some momentum, but I think we're pretty close. We want to attract cyclists and the public and the community to go for a bike ride with us, sort of outside of downtown, but then back into downtown, uh-huh, to experience a particular area in the core of downtown and watch a bike-related movie.
So you pull up on your bike and you pack like a blanket? I mean, are you sit on your bike and watch the movie? What's the vision for the bike-in movie?
I think it's a combination of
whatever you
of things,
want.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty loose. We'll provide chairs and seating. You can use your bike as a seat if you want, or you can just stand. You know, we'll have bicycle parking and that's the general idea.
Food
currently.
And beverage?
That we're hoping for beverage.
Beverage. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Excellent. Okay. So that's a concept you've been working on for a little while.
About a year, but yeah. I really do feel like it's gained some momentum.
Also, you've been thinking about some mural projects, some mural ideas.
That's right. Me and a few of our coworkers have walked around the city and identified properties that would be amenable and also attractive for murals to be painted.
Painted. To be muraled.
To be muraled.
To be muraled. I was just on a family vacation, and we were in Dublin, and there are so many really cool murals there. And I was a little jealous, but then when I came back, I'm like, oh, we have some really awesome murals here, too. I love the Madonna, the Sacred Heart Madonna that's on the Feist building.
That's my favorite.
It's so cool. It's just so well done.
It is so cool. And just a little secret. If it's the right time of year, and the right time of day, usually in the evening. The sun shines on the mirrored building in front of it.
Yes.
And then you get this really...
It's huge, yeah, reflecting.
It's huge, this reflection on the Madonna that makes her look like she's illuminated.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's amazing.
It's very cool.
I don't know if that was intentional at all, but it's...
Sometimes art is like a happy accident.
That's right.
Yeah. So mural project is in the works. What, you know, how do you think the physical realm, people walking on the sidewalks or even on a bike, just being in the downtown area, how do you think that affects the way that people feel about their city? Or do you think that it does?
Yes, I think it really does. I think we're fortunate downtown specifically because there's so much infill within our huge long blocks that it captures people's interest, and I think that's part of it. So if you're walking anywhere outside of downtown and you're walking, let's say you're walking between 7th South and 6th South, it feels like a long block.
Yeah, right.
But the minute you get into the downtown district, things are happening around you. There are interesting things to look at, interesting things to hear and see. So it distracts you from the long, arduous walk from block to block.
I think when we talked with people who do a lot of this kind of work, that idea of a sense of discovery or a sense of scale, like I would so much prefer to walk on Main Street than virtually any other street that runs to that north-south corridor, because it's interesting. And even though, you know, there's planters and you kind of have to go around people sometimes and there's people sitting outside, but it's just engaging and interesting and shady.
That's right. That's right. And the fact that there's more people on Main Street also makes it interesting. So
it helps.
Yeah. Human scale is key.
You have done another really cool project over the last 3 or 4 months that many people may not be aware of, in partnership with the Eccles Theater. And the Bistro, the Encore Bistro at the Eccles Theater. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the partnership with Cuisine Unlimited, which is the wonderful catering company that manages the Eccles Theater and the Encore Bistro for folks who have attended Broadway shows or other music acts. It's not just Broadway shows. You're trying to create an extra little add-on experience.
Yeah, that's right. They've asked us to commission performers to sort of help guide theater goers down into the Bistro and provide sort of a mingling kind of atmosphere in the Bistro after performances. So I have a very huge database of buskers that we've worked with through the years at the Market, and we've sort of hand selected a few that would be appropriate for the Eccles Bistro, and it's been working out really nice, kind of famously.
It's a new thing. You and I were both there the first night, and people are like, what is this?
Right.
Why would I do this? But I think it's growing. Like, people are understanding, I can go to a show, and then I don't have to rush out immediately afterwards and hurry home. I can actually, you know, have a beverage or a little snack. Because of our Utah laws, you actually have to do both, but they've priced the snacks very appropriately. And talk about the experience that you just had. You know, if you've just had some life-changing experience seeing a musical, or even if it's just fun, that's a great way for people, I think, to connect and not feel like they have to just rush home as quickly as possible.
I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case, too. And it seems like that's working. They keep asking us to...
Provide buskers.
So I'm thinking it's working. And there's been a little bit of tweaking as far as the concept goes, but I think it's been helpful.
When I started the Nautilus, I didn't know what a busker was. It's an unusual word.
I didn't either. I started managing the busker program I think even prior to when I was actually hired for the Downtown Alliance, sort of on a volunteer capacity.
Uh-huh.
And
A volunteer busker wrangler.
That doesn't happen
every day.
No.
Yeah.
That's an interesting job.
Yeah, so a busker is a performer who performs mostly for tips, right?
That's typically what you describe. Outdoors, on the streets.
Yeah, and we like them generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. It adds to the flavor of the downtown environment, the downtown city.
That's right. It's that vibrancy that we're talking about that kind of helps engage people with their environment.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got just a minute left. As we wrap up, just maybe talk about where you hope Salt Lake City's public realm, the downtown area, is in 5 years. What would you like to see downtown like, even if it's not a specific project, just how do you think, how would you like people to relate to downtown in 5 years based on your work in activating our urban space?
I want them to be, first of all, I want them to think about downtown first and the creativity that happens downtown, mm-hmm. and perhaps even participate in the creativity that happens downtown. You know, no one person can do it all. It really does take a community. So I think that if the community is thinking about downtown from a creative perspective, that will just build momentum. So in 5 years from now, I hope to see a lot of different voices mm-hmm. in our artistic community that enhance what we already have, which is amazing.
Yeah, and just going to get better.
It's just going to get better.
Kristen, thank you for your work, though, for helping to make a more vibrant and diverse community. That is the mission of the Downtown Alliance, to create a dynamic and diverse community that is the Regional Center for Culture, Commerce, and Entertainment. And you are a big part of that, so thanks for your work.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center. More information about the Garden Stroll is available at downtownslcpresents.org or downtownslc.org.